Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And before we read and start our message, after you get there, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. If you're at Ephesians 1. Our Father, our God, our blessed, blessed, great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we indeed praise you for salvation so good, so gracious, so full, so free, so powerful, so effectual, for blood that really, truly cleanses from sin, makes us acceptable to God Himself. Lord, we praise you this evening. And as long as we have breath, we'll be as your servant David. As long as we have breath and in our right minds, we'll praise you. We'll praise you as long as we have life and breath. For Lord, you're worthy to be praised, worthy to be honored, worthy to be magnified, worthy to be worshiped, worthy to trust. Worthy for someone like a sinner like me. Oh, Lord, meet with us tonight. I ask you for Christ's sake, meet with us tonight. Be in our presence with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. We thank you for the saints. Pray for those who are not with us through your providence. Those among us that are sick and tried and burdened and afflicted. God bless them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, meet the needs of their hearts, their homes, their families. Meet with us. Enable me to speak to your glory and the good of the hearers. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read these first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also, in Christ, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you were believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now I want you to turn just right over to your right and look in verses 8 and 9, then I'm going to go back and deal with those verses a little bit. I want to talk about the riches of Christ tonight. You know, some people may think, but look what I said here in verse 8 and 9 before I get into this. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Some may think that preaching Christ and Him crucified restricts the preacher. It narrows his field down too much. But here it says the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches of Christ. So His riches, if they're unsearchable, can we exhaust the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we exhaust it? Can we exhaust the subject of Christ and Him crucified? It says that His riches are unsearchable. And there's a couple of places I want to look at tonight in the New Testament where His riches are set forth. They're found throughout all the way through the Scriptures. In Isaiah 53, the riches of His death and what it accomplished and who He accomplished it for. The riches of God's mercy that made His Son to be a sacrifice for sin, that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, to make His soul an offering for sin. And what a riches it was that our Lord Jesus Christ was led as a lamb to the slaughter and didn't even open His mouth, and that He was numbered with the transgressors. And He did that all for those that were given to Him, and by His knowledge shall He justify many. And in Isaiah 9, it talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Old Testament's full of His riches. Thou shalt call His name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And upon His shoulder shall be the government. Be the government. And in Exodus 12, the whole chapter of Exodus 12, is about the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. As 250,000 lambs slaughtered that night, but it says it was considered as one lamb. And Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Now, and we know Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:4 that we are enriched in all things by Christ. And that word enriched means to be made wealthy in Christ. Wealthy in Christ. Now let's look back over here in Ephesians 1. Let me go through these things and just talk about some of the riches we have in Christ. Here's some spiritual blessings, and these show us the source of the riches of Christ. All these things that I'm going to say tonight show us the source where God's riches given to us in Christ. First of all, He says they're spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. And they come to us by the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's blessed us. God blessed us, and He blessed us in heavenly places in Christ. When Christ was in glory, when Christ was there alone with His Father, God Himself blessed us with spiritual blessings in Christ before the world ever began. And that's what the next verse means. That's exactly what He's talking about. He didn't just bless us with blessings in this life. These spiritual blessings were given us in Christ when Christ sitting at the right hand of God, when Christ sitting there, when Him, just Him and His Father. And He gave us all these spiritual blessings, and this is the first one He gave us. Election. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Well, how in the world does election enrich us? Look in Romans 8 and I'll tell you. Romans 8. Oh, to be chosen of God, to be elected of God, to be set apart by God. This is one of those spiritual blessings. And the source of these riches come through here. Look what He said in Romans 8:29. How does this enrich us? How does this make us wealthy? For whom He did foreknow. That word foreknow, I've told you so many times, that means that He has an intimate acquaintance with. Because He tells in another place, He said, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But here He knew His people. He foreknew His people. He foreknew who they was, where they was, what they would be, and what they would do, and what He would do for them. And so, and listen, and then he goes on to say us, for whom he did foreknow, and look what he did to us. He predestinated us. And predestination always has something to do with where you're going to end up. A destination is already predetermined. And look, God's foreknowledge, his choice of his people, is the foundation of all we possess and hope for in Christ. This business of God's foreknowledge, God's foreknowing us. And his choice of his people is the foundation of everything we possess and hope for in Christ. We now have a preordained destination. What is it? To be conformed to the image of his Son. He's going to conform us to the image of his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are we going to look just like Christ? No. We're going to look like we are. Everybody's going to be as they were, and they're going to know as they were known. But when he says we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, that means we're going to be obedient. That means we're going to be without any sin. That means we're going to be in a perfect body. That means that we're going to obey perfectly. We're going to love perfectly. We're going to do the will of God perfectly. We're going to worship our Lord perfectly. Everything we want to do perfectly here, we'll do there. And that's what it means to be conformed to the image of Christ. We will be like Christ in spirit and willingness and joy and peace and the willingness to honor and bless God throughout eternity with a perfect heart and a perfect mind and a perfect soul. And that's what it means to be penitent. That's what we're going to be predestinated to. And oh, look what else it says here. Oh my, let me get something to stick in there. Look what else it says here about this. Not only has he foreknown us and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. You reckon that if God predestinates us and we got this destination to get to, and he foreknew us, and because he foreknew us, he predestinated to this. Do you reckon that God's foreknowledge and predestination is going to be carried out? Do you reckon there'll ever be one that God foreknew will not be eventually conformed to the image of his blessed Son? You think of the saints in glory right now, to the spirits of just men made perfect. They worship in spirit, what in person and in the presence of Christ, the way we would here if we could. That's what Paul meant, said, the will is present with me, but how to perform, I just don't know how. And look what else he says now. And then in verse 30, he said, moreover, whom he did predestinate. Oh, listen. Oh, listen, all this was given us in Christ now. This is our foundation. For whom he did predestinate, he also, what did he do to him? If you're predestinated to be conformed to Christ, you got to have a calling. You got to be called. And even foreknew us, and that's why we were called. Called what? Called out of darkness. Called from sin. Called from self. And oh, listen, and then those whom he called, those that he foreknew, those whom he called, look what it says. He justified them. And let me tell you something. These things were done. Every one of these are in the past tense. Every one of these is in the past tense. This was as good as done before you and I ever got on this earth, because God purposed it according to the counsel of his own will. And the only reason we're called, because God foreknew us and God had a purpose. And because God had a purpose, he said, I'm going to foreknow some people. And because I foreknow them, I'm going to predestinate them. And then I'm going to call them and justify them. And just to make sure they get this, I'm going to glorify them too. That's all in one thing. God's foreknowledge for us. That's the foundation of everything that we owe. And oh my. And look what it says here in verse 28 now. No wonder that's why Paul said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And you're talking about assurance. And it gives us assurance for now. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for who? Not everybody. But for them who love God. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. And to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Oh, listen, God ain't never done nothing without it being on purpose. Now back over in Ephesians 1. And oh my, listen to what it says now in verse 4. Not only is this grace given to us, and this and he has chosen us, and we're accepted in the beloved. Look what he says there. And in love having predestinated us. In love he did this. Then he says, in verse 6, we're made accepted in the beloved. Huh? How? By grace? To the praise of the glory of his grace? We're redeemed by his blood, in whom we have redemption. And, well, I'm on the wrong page here. Folks, forgive me. I'm way back. I'm going to have to back up. I know that I missed something. Now watch what I go back up here to verse 4 and 5 with me. I don't need to be sticking them in between the pages. I'm getting as bad as Scott. Scott, get one of Oh, I'd love to see him do that now, but no, he's right where he needs to be and wants to be and delights to be. But oh, look what it says here. He predestined us in love. Oh, my. In love he has predestined, has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before him. And listen to what he says. In love having predestinated us. Why were we chosen? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Right now, not going to be. See, we start out where everybody else in religion wants to end up being. They labor to end up being holy and accepted of God. We start out being holy and accepted of God. Their goal is our starting place. Where they want to end up, that's where we start. And then look what it says here. He predestinated us. In love, predestinated us. And look what he says, to the adoption of children. Now, you know, there's two ways we become sons of God. Two ways. We become children of God first by new birth. Regenerated by the Spirit of God. Being born again by the truth. Being born again by the Spirit. Regenerated by the Spirit. We're made partakers of the divine nature. That's the first way we become the children of God. By regeneration. By being made new creatures in Christ. By having that incorruptible seed set in our hearts and in our souls. And the second way, and why we're called to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself. God only had one son. And that son was like Abraham's son, Isaac. The father loved the son and gave everything to the son. I mean, he was heir of everything. Just like Isaac, he says, my master loves my son and has given all things into his hands. Now see, our Lord Jesus Christ was the only son, the only begotten son of God, the heir of everything. The heir of heaven, earth, and hell, and everything in between. So God says, listen, I've got so much wealth, I've got so much glory, I've got so much power, I've got so much wealth that my son is so wealthy, I'm going to adopt a bunch of children, make them legally mine, so legally they can have the inheritance just like my son. He said, in fact, I'm going to give everything to my son and then they're going to be joint heirs with him. Everything he gets, they get. And that's why we're adopted to sons. You know, if you adopt somebody and you legally adopt them, you can't unadopt them. They'll be an heir. They're one of your children. They're considered one of your children. As that one's naturally born in your family, and you're legally responsible for them, and they're legally heirs. And that's what he says here. He's predestinated us to adoption. And he chose us to adopt us, and this is the destination of all whom Christ redeemed. Now, I'm going to tell you something about predestination. Always shows the intended destination. Wherever we see predestination, it always shows the intended destination. Here, the predestined to be sons, children of God. Over there, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And And another thing where it says preordained or foreordained or predestinated, those who were foreordained to eternal life, predestinated to eternal life, they was predestinated to do what? Believe. So every time you find predestination, they're predestination to a particular thing. And all, he makes us son, he makes us holy in love. What riches here we see. Loved of God, chosen of God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, made God's children by adoption and new birth, destined for glory and conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he says about the riches of his grace. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Oh my. How many, you know how many times it talks about the praise of the glory of his grace? You know why God does what he does? To the praise of the glory of his grace and the good pleasure of his will. And what did he do for us? He made us accepted in the beloved. And he did it by grace. And I tell you what, and he not only made us accepted in the beloved according to his grace, but in Christ he redeemed us through his blessed blood. He redeemed us, paid for our sins, and in paying for our sins through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins through his blood. And you know why he did that? He said, according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. We're talking about the riches of Christ. Here's the riches of his grace. And oh my, this grace is not only given to us, but look what it says in verse 8. It's given to us in abundance. Wherein he hath abounded toward us. Where do you abound toward us at? In grace, in Christ, in redemption, in acceptance. And he abounded toward us in all this. And oh my. And I tell you what, look what else it says down here in verse 10. God let us know his ultimate purpose. And all that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, whenever time is filled up, and a dispensation is a space of time. Paul said a dispensation was given to me. That's a space of time. When that space of time was overdone, Paul was overdone. So he has a dispensation, a place in time when the fullness of times is over and done with. You know what he's going to do? He says he's going to gather together in one. Make everybody one. Gather together in one person. One person. And everybody's in heaven and everybody's in earth. He's going to gather them together. We're at in Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that what he says? And all, he's going to gather together in one all things. In Christ. Things that's already in glory and things are on earth. And they're going to even be gathered in him. And oh my. And there's more. Look what it says. And even in him, in whom Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. There's that inheritance I was telling you about. We know why we got inheritance? Because we're sons. Adopted sons. And we have obtained an inheritance. Oh my. You know, people scared to death. You all seen this. Somebody dies and people go to, first thing they want to do is they want to go in the person who's died's house or something and start packing everything out that they want. They won't even, they'll go to the funeral home and see them, get them ready, and then they run in their house and start getting stuff out of their house. I want this blanket, I want that picture, I want this, I want that, I want this other thing. They want to get their part before somebody else gets it. Well, there's one thing about this. Everybody gets the same inheritance. You don't have to sneak in and get it. You don't have to sneak in and sneak nothing out. We're all going to get the same. Oh, and look what it says here. And being predestinated to this inheritance. And oh, how come, according to the purpose of him who worked all of these things out after the counsel of, who did he counsel with? Himself in his own will. Look over in 1 Peter 1. You're talking about an inheritance. Oh, look what an inheritance over here. 1 Peter 1. I tell you, I've thought all day long, just about all day, how I'd love to go get my inheritance. If the Lord would be pleased to, you know, I want to stay here as long as He wants me to, but boy, oh boy. Man, oh man, I surely would love to go get this inheritance. Look what he said here in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, He begat us to this in our Lord Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it'll never fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Who? Them that are kept by the power of God through faith. That's who's going to get it. Everybody's kept by the power of God. Oh my. And look back over in Ephesians 1. Now, I should have turned this on, see what my time is. But oh my, back over here, not only that, and he says in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, you know who first trusted in Christ? Put all his eggs in one basket. That was his Father. That was his Father. God said, I'm going to put everything on you. I'm going to make you the surety of your people. I'm going to make you the redeemer of your people. I'm going to make you the savior of your people. I'm going to make you the head of the body. I'm going to make you the redeemer. I'm going to make you everything to them. And then look what it says here. In whom you also trusted. You also trusted Him. Huh? And look what it says. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now here's another thing that we got, one of these riches. In whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And this Holy Spirit of promise is sealing. That's a mark that God puts on us. It's not like sealing here in a can jar, you know, when you're canning and you hear that lid pop and it's sealed. This is talking about God setting a mark on us. Like you have a seal that you put a stamp down. This is a seal like a notary public's got a seal. The state's got a seal. The president's got a seal. People have seals, and God put a seal on us, put a mark on us. Having this seal, God knows them that are His. Now, that's why the foundation of God stands sure. Don't you see? And oh, look what it says. This is the guarantee of our inheritance. And seal marked with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he says, this is just the earnest of our inheritance. This sealant is, this presence of the Holy Spirit until we have the purchased possession. Oh my. Let me ask you, could we exhaust the riches of Christ? Can we? And all these things, I don't know about you, but they comfort me and they assure me and they feed me. And I certainly hope they comfort you and assure you and feed you. And I tell you the most glorious thing about everything I've said tonight. It says to the praise of the glory of His grace. God gets all the glory. Christ gets all the glory in everything I said tonight. And that's why the gospel's so precious. It gives God all the glory. Huh? Now, look over in Colossians now. Right over to your right. Two books. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I won't take long on this. Oh my. Look what I'm going to start here in verse 9. Talking about all the fullness in Christ. All the riches in Christ. All the riches of His grace. The source of those riches is God's election and predestination and foreknowledge. That's the source of it. Then according to the riches of His grace. But now look here. And all the fullness dwells in Christ. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, verse 9, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled, because see, all fullness is in Christ, that you might be filled with the wisdom, knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he prays that they be filled with the knowledge of his will. You know what the will of God is? I can tell you exactly what it is. Two things that I point to real quick. The first one is this. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. The second thing, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that in everything you give thanks. Huh? You reckon we know that will? Be filled with that will? He said, be filled with that will. And oh, listen, the knowledge of his will. And then have wisdom and spiritual understanding in the knowledge of that will. Wisdom and spiritual understanding in the will of God, in the scriptures of God, in the things of God. Huh? And oh my, may we have spiritual understanding. Two things I pray for constantly. Constantly. And you can go through Proverbs and see it. God, give me that wisdom that comes from above. And please give me spiritual understanding. Understanding, not only of myself, but other people. Understanding. And oh, to have the understanding. And how wealthy would we be in this wisdom and knowledge. Look over with me in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8. Oh, if we just, how wealthy we would be in this wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 8. Look what it says here in verse 10. Proverbs 8:10. Oh, how wealthy we'd be in wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding. God says, receive my instruction and not silver. Would you rather have God teach you, or would you rather have money? Silver. And he says, and receive knowledge rather than choice gold. Every single day, they give the commodities. Silver, gold. Silver, gold. Silver, gold. I know a fella one time told a fella, said, boy, said, you got to buy silver, got to buy silver. And I mean, he bought the silver. I mean, he bought a lot of silver. So every day he's watching what the silver market does. Because he got all his silver. And look what he says here. Receive my instruction, not silver. If God instructs you and God's teaching, what's the price of that? What's that worth? Huh? And knowledge, my knowledge, the knowledge of me, the knowledge of yourself, the knowledge of the Word. Oh, then choice gold. And listen to what he said in verse 8:11. For wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom is better than rubies. God's taking these earthly things, this earthly wealth, and showing that what he gives us and teaches us is so much better. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not be compared to it. Don't even compare it. That's how he said, that's how important. That's why he said, I pray for you. Now back over in Colossians. You know it says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And oh, beloved, if we have this wisdom and knowledge that's hid in Christ our Lord, it says then that we might walk worthy. Enabling us, it would enable us to walk worthy unto the Lord in all pleasing. And you know what pleases God? Is to take him at his word, trust his Son, not never trust ourselves, never look to ourselves, never do anything to attribute anything that we have said or done to ourselves. And he said, if you do this, you'll be fruitful in every good work, and you'll increase in the knowledge of God. Huh? And all this knowledge that we're talking about, the knowledge of his will, and look what happens, look what it'll do for us. This knowledge will strengthen us in verse 11. It'll strengthen us according to his glorious power. Oh, to know God, know where this, he'll strengthen us according to what? His glorious power. And what does he strengthen us to do by this glorious power? He strengthens us unto all patience. He trusts us to have patience. In patience possess ye your souls. In patience is what you need when you're going through trials. Oh, to have the patience of Job. And he'll strengthen us to have long suffering. To suffer long in this world. Suffer long through trials. Suffer long with ourselves. Suffer long with people. And then not only that, he'll give us the strength to do it with joy. Ain't that what he says? With joy. Oh. And that's why he says, you know it all. Listen. Oh my. Strengthened with all might. And then look what he says. And then we give thanks. Since he gave us all this, and it's still one sentence here. It's one sentence. We ain't got to the bottom of the sentence yet. He says, giving thanks, and this is what I could, give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to God. Because God himself is the one who made us fit. This word meet means to be partaker of. Meet, fit, suitable to be partakers. Oh, we talked about that inheritance of this inheritance already in light, already in glory, already in heaven itself. And then we give thanks to him because, look what it says, who hath delivered us. Hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh my, power of darkness. Translated us, took us from out of one kingdom into another kingdom. We don't live in that kingdom. We live over here in the kingdom of the Son of His love. And again, he tells us, and it's His dear Son, the Son of His love, the dear Son, the Son of His love. And it's the Son of His love we have redemption. Again, Paul tells it again. Through His blood, the blood cleanses. And we even have the forgiveness of sins because of that blood. And listen to what he describes Christ now. I'm talking about all fullness in Him, all riches in Him, all fullness in Him. And you know who it is that we have redemption through? Who we've been translated into the kingdom of? The image of the invisible God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God made visible. The invisible God made visible. And look what it says, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know how many hymns it says here in these two verses? Four. By hymns. Four. By Him, for Him. And listen, this said He's before all things. Oh my, you talking about wealthy. Rich, that's who redeemed us. That's who we're in. That's who created us. That's who made us. That's who's running this world. And listen to what it says here. He's the head of the body, the church. You know, when you look at a picture, and the first six or seven people in that picture, you know the first person you look at in that picture, yourself. And you'll say, well, that's a good picture of me, or that, boy, I don't like that picture. Well, when God looks at us, He only sees one person. Christ is the head. He's the one we need to be looking at. That's the one we need to be paying attention to. He's the beginning. He is the firstborn that come right back from the dead by His own power. And this is what it says, that God said in all things, in everything that has in this world, He has the preeminence. And listen to what he says now. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Whatever God is, all of it dwells in Christ. Whoever God is, all of Him dwells in Christ. Whatever happens in this world, all of it's in Christ. All of the fullness of God dwells in Him. And it pleased the Father to do that. Oh, the riches of Christ. The riches of Christ. Our Lord Jesus, our Savior. And our Father, I thank you for the riches of Christ, unsearchable riches, riches that untold. Lord, no matter how many times we talk about him, how many times we preach him, how many times we deal with the scriptures, Lord, we always leave something unsaid, something undone, something not understood. We just skim the surface. One of these days, Lord, there'll be no more skimming, no more laboring, no more trying to tell about your glory and your worth and your preciousness and your power and your great, great riches and the riches of your grace. One of these days we'll enjoy you as you are. And there, Lord Jesus, we'll praise you as you ought to be. We'll honor you as you ought to be. Oh, Lord, let that day come quickly. We're like John. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Protect and preserve your people and keep them. Give your people traveling mercies, living mercies, mercies to rest, mercies to labor, mercies to have peace of mind, contentment of heart. In our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.